this is Phil Foley, one of the co-creators of Girl Genius, and you're listening to the Webcomic Beacon!
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Did you guys hear
so
that?
So animated. I did.
Awesome. Yes, those are awesome.
I got to hear it live.
Yeah. We still have a bunch more of those to go through. But this is episode 43 of the Webcomic Beacon. And I am Fess of FessWorks.com. With me, my co-hosts, Tanya of Betapone.com.
Hello.
And, well, that wasn't really cheery.
Oh, hello, yay!
Okay, all right. Sorry. And Aaron of TebowComic.com.
That's me!
Wow, that was so Joker-esque. I'm a little afraid of you now. That's cool.
It's all part of the plan.
It's all part of the plan.
And with us, we have a special guest this week, Tony Pyro of CalamitiesOfNature.com. Welcome.
Hi, how's everyone doing?
Good, good.
Obviously very excited and full of energy.
Yay!
We've got the chat room hot and running over at webcomicbeacon.com/live. For those who are listening to the MP3, you were not a part of the show because you're listening to it on your iPod if you're a loser. No,
your
I'm just
host.
Kidding.
I listened to it on my iPod.
Okay. Well, I listened to it like 3 times total.
None of which.
Tanya, you really listen to these all over again every time? Or?
I do, because I'm always afraid of what Fess will do. I don't know. I think he has bizarre magics, and it'll just be me talking about horrible things for a good 5 minutes, right in the middle, like just nested in somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to make sure I can tell my mom to listen to them.
Yeah, speaking of horrible things, we hear you defected a little bit to the GigCast for a while.
I may have.
and then they stole our idea of having the guest on for almost the whole show. So, you know, again, they're stealing stuff from us again. Are stealing our co-hosts.
I mentioned it to them that they were clearly copying us. I think it was even in the show. I said that
it was.
You know, they stole all these little bits from us, and then they stole the co-hosts. And
Awesome.
And then they had Brock Heasley on last week, who was also on our show first.
Yeah, but that's always fun
defense, I can. Oh, sorry.
Oh no, go ahead.
Okay, I can. I could see what they meant though. At one point, they go. Well, you know, in our defense, a lot of these people that ask us to review comics, they'll go and email their comic to every single podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
And then if every podcast reviews the comic, it looks like...
So the idea is we just have to publish first.
Yeah, we got to get out
like
there
everyone
first.
Everyone is copying us.
But,
and I did accuse Fess of only having me on the Webcomic Beacon because I have boobs. It
and
was
that was not the case.
It's because I'm a webcomic reviewer with boobs.
From the webcomic list. I tried to get everybody from the webcomic list that was doing things with reviews. That's why I was going after Brett Hanley. I was going after Aaron of... Oh, man. I just forgot what
Basement
it was.
And,
yeah, Debasement and...
Yeah.
Crap, the other one.
What was the other one, with the talking beer can?
Aaron's desk.
And I also went after What's-His-Face of the Webcomic Asylum. No, Webcomic Asylum. Webcomic Review Blob. And I don't know. The communication with him didn't go too well, so he didn't come on the show at all. And that was over 43 episodes ago when I contacted everybody. And who we got now? We got Aaron, who was... very active in our calling in and leaving comments and such. So now he's a co-host, and Tanya's still here from the beginning, and I'm still here.
I did a lot of reviews. I just did them on my forum instead of. But I got an idea. I got Webcomic Beacon. You hear it here first.
Okay.
Actually, I think we should use that exact clip with the. secret noise. Just leave it exactly like that. No fancy schmancy.
Well, I am thinking of like putting together a little promo, because anyone who heard last week's thing heard a new little promo section for the Geek Media, which is one of theirs. It's 34 seconds long, and I'm leaving it open to other Geek Media people to do a little 30 to 34 second promo thing. And I'm thinking that we should do our own, too, for, like, exchanges and such.
Yeah.
So I sent you guys an email with this script. I'm going to get Mark involved in this, too. We'll each have, like, one line to say. And I recorded an audio of how I was thinking it would go so far. And I'll play that right now so everyone can kind of hear what I'm thinking of. But we can work out the details later and add some music. But here it is. We interrupt this awesome podcast to talk about a not as, just as, or awesomer podcast, The Webcomic Beacon. It's a webcomic podcast by and for webcomic hobbyists, aspiring amateurs, and semi-professionals with new topics each week. We've got a fun and casual atmosphere complete with reviews, impressions, and the occasional special guest. So head on over to webcomicbeacon.com for webcomic discussions, antics, and more ball-dropping than your local morning radio show. How's that? Does it sound too bad, or
I'm sold?
All right,
yeah,
sweet.
It's good. I will listen every week, twice.
Yeah, yeah. I listen three times. Aaron, do you listen to it twice? Like one more time after we've already recorded?
I don't listen to it at all.
You son of a bitch!
Right now,
dude,
we're all on
that,
mute.
Like, I just randomly say things. I told you like 20 episodes ago. I stopped reading it listening to it a long time ago.
I can barely read my old comics on my website, let alone listen to myself multiple
times.
For
an hour. Well, you know what's worse?
Sorry.
I do it at
When's
work.
When did you go?
What's worse is that I do it at work. I listen at work, so people will walk by and be like, oh, what are you listening to? And I have to admit, it's myself. Like, I'm that narcissistic. It's me.
I read my own comic all the time, but no, don't listen to my own podcast. I listen to if I'm on someone else's podcast, or if you guys are on someone else's podcast, I listen to those. But no, I don't listen.
Oh, well.
Now you've hurt Max's feelings.
Oh,
you'll have to send flowers.
Yeah.
No. Send money.
Screw the flowers.
Why? You'll just squander.
You left an F-bomb in last week. I totally heard it.
I did. I guess I did.
Aaron completely dropped the F-bomb toward the end there. Got a little angry. Started flying, and you just left it in.
That was by accident.
I want to clarify. I don't get angry. That's still just a normal me.
Oh, okay. He got animated.
He got,
yes.
Why did he get
insurance?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I
don't even remember what I was talking about.
We were talking about the I was mistakenly calling it Space Heist, but it was the Jovian Luck webcomic for the webcomic Searchlight. You know, where they have text for some of their
for the
comics.
After you mentioned that, I went back and looked, and yeah, it is one giant 8.5, 11, 72 res solid wall of text.
Ugh.
Yeah, I think this is just a little bonus page just to see what we're working on type of thing, but still, this is not something you put on your main page for when new people are going to be clicking and going to your site to see if this isn't a comic. This is text. You know, you got to hook them in if that's your first page. You know, you got to show something visual.
I think it was around the third minute of you actually trying to find the comic. You know, because you were all very confused. Where is it? I don't friggin' see it. It was just funny. I died laughing. Looked like a lunatic. But it was good.
I hate saying negative things to people that apparently listen to this show. You know, nothing bad against anybody in particular, but, these impressions are of us as readers, not as professional webcomicers, but us as readers and taking a look at these things. And so they're from a reader perspective. We're gonna, that's the whole deal with the Searchlight. You know, we may say negative stuff, we may say positive stuff, we may talk a short amount of time, we may talk a lot about time, but in the end, we'll talk about it after you get in line, and we'll put a little image of a little image link to underneath our promotion section, so people can still click and check it out themselves.
Promotion
yeah.
sex?
Promotion section.
I love promotion sex. That is the best kind. You get more customers that way?
Anyway, this week we are talking about advertising, but not advertising link we were talking about last time, where we're talking about putting ads out to get people to your site to see that you have text, I mean your comic on your main page.
Oh.
And we're talking about placing ad space on your site, not necessarily your webcomic site, but maybe your blog or, you know, whatever project you're doing. And that is why we have Tony.
Yay.
Tony?
Yay.
Welcome to the show.
Again.
Thank you.
Again.
We found you on the webcomic list forums. You had written up lost a creative. There we go. Just tell us what you did.
I wrote up a summary of different ad services that are available and ways to implement them, and kind of just a review of, you know, the plus and minuses of each of them. And
I read that. It was awesome, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I was hoping it was something that could help, you know, both webcomics, but, I mean, if you have a blog or a lot of other types of websites, I think it'd also be applicable in those cases as well. So, yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, let's go into it a little bit.
Okay.
Well, I guess you already just answered the first question in your, you know, why you did it. But let's see here.
I can actually speak a little more to that. I mean,
okay.
Why did I write it up? I actually had gotten a couple questions from some beginning to intermediate webcomic creators. In particular, I think it was I had discussions with Dumbum from Minas the Minotaur and Box Brown from the comic Belen. And it kind of having those discussions and having to write those long emails, you write enough of those and you realize maybe I should just write one little review of these things and just write it once and not have to write these long emails over and over again. And
right.
It was actually pretty surprising. There's a lot of even kind of intermediate comics that, you know, they just kind of paste the AdSense ads on their site. They make their $3 a month and it's kind of disappointing. And they haven't really taken the time to do any of that research, so I was trying to give people a head start on that.
Well, a lot of people don't know or haven't found out yet for themselves how much Google AdSense sucks.
Yeah, and it does.
Yeah. Well, unless what you're looking for is an ugly ad that pays very little. If that's what you're going for.
Is Google AdSense that just, it's just, like, it looks like text, and you can't really tell that it's really ad, other than it just looks like a bunch of text that doesn't seem to go anywhere.
Yeah, so it's links to different different sites, and the real problem for it for comics, there's a couple of things. One is they mainly only pay for clicks, and unless you have, and they play pretty well per click, but if you have a site that's only getting like even 1,000, you know, viewers per day. It's pretty rare when somebody clicks an ad, to tell you the truth. I mean, mm-hmm. It's 1 in 1,000 if you're lucky. So if you had a site like PvP or something, you're going to get a couple hundred clicks, and you're going to make some decent money. But for a site that's much smaller like ours, the clicks are so far and, you know, few in between that you'd barely make anything.
Well, that's if you don't get banned. In, you know.
Yeah, that's another issue. But the other thing is, on top of that, for AdSense, it's kind of targeted. So Google has some funny algorithm where they actually go through your site and they try to target ads specifically for the content they find on your site.
Right.
If you don't have a very extensive blog, you know, if you just have images, for example, that's something that Google can't really parse.
Right.
And so you have to alt text everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or do the Ono robot thing, or yeah, it's.
So you just end up with a lot of kind of generic comic ads. That no one's really going to want to click anyway.
Because
so
it's just text. You can't see anything. It's just text.
Yeah.
Who cares?
And it's usually, and it winds up being to comic book like stores too. So it doesn't actually relate to the genre.
I
did AdSense for, I think, 4 days, and it was, you know, superhero stuff. I'm like, what the hell? Like weird Viagra ads, which was odd, but.
But I will say that since I redesigned my site a month or so ago and started posting on my blog more extensively, the ads have actually become more targeted since then. I've been making a little more money. So you can If you have a real good, like a strong genre like sci-fi or something, and you're posting your blog a lot, so Google has something to parse, I think it can work for you a little better in those sense, in those cases.
Well, another thing you have to deal with is that not a lot of other comickers, web comickers, advertise on Google Ads, which would be the only way for their ads to pop up when you're trying to serve ads.
Right.
Whereas in Project Wonderful, which I'm sure we'll get to, everybody in webcomics basically uses it. So you always have a nice, healthy deluge of webcomic buttons.
Relatable right. links.
Which is nice.
So since we're talking mostly webcomics here, you know, being you know, a webcomic
podcast.
I thought
that's what you wanted us to do.
No. I'm saying, I'm trying to segue, damn it.
Oh, okay.
I'll talk
about video games if you want.
So if AdSense is mostly the worst choice or a very bad choice, what seems to be a very good choice for webcomics?
Well, I'd say it depends on kind of what your goal is with your ads. So there's Project Wonderful, which everyone pretty much knows and loves. It is developed by Ryan North from Dinosaur Comics. And it's something that, because it started in the webcomic community, it's very targeted towards webcomics, both the sites that have the ads as well as the people that are doing the advertising themselves. It doesn't always pay the best, which I can talk about more, but in terms of becoming part of that community of webcomickers, I think it's really advantageous. Just having a good ad spot in your site that other webcomickers will put their ads on and see that they're getting clicks from, they'll say, oh, wait, you know, what's this comic I'm getting all this great traffic from? And you can actually have people learn about your site that way and become part of the community.
Well, there's a lot of times I've learned about other webcomics just because they found out about mine and put their button on there, and it's cool because they're supporting me by giving me a penny. But then I get to learn about their comic, and I've found a lot of new webcomics that way that I really liked. So.
Yeah. Unless you're really adverse to having ads at all, if you're kind of a starting to intermediate webcomic, I would totally recommend putting some, you know, Project Wonderful ads somewhere just so you can get plugged into this community of all these other webcomickers.
Yep.
But if you're just starting out, I highly recommend not putting, you know, a million spots of like, like you got like a whole like sidebar of like six squares, or you got like 20 of the little buttons stripped across the bottom. you got to be smart, you know. You're not gonna fill them all the way up if you're new, for one.
No, you have to realize there's supply and demand. So people are bidding on these ads, and as you put more spots on, there's going to be less people bidding, and you're actually going to make less money in the long run, as well as make your site look kind of crappy. So, but even if you put a few buttons on there, you're going to make some money because people are running these campaigns, and they're gonna get filled. So you can make your 10 cents a day usually just by having four or five of these buttons.
10 cents?
That's a lot of money.
What?
I make more than that a day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shut up.
It's not that much, honestly. Like, I know it sounds like, but no. Like, Project Wonderful in and of itself pays for my hosting and my own advertising.
I only make 3 cents a day tops.
mine is.
You got something to shoot for, then I guess.
Mine is a little bit more variable, because I just decided to say, you know, screw all from having separate, you know, ads on all my different projects. I combined my webcomics, the webcomic beacon, and the Jenny Everywhere site. All of those ads are all shared in between. They don't have all of them between. I got like, I know, a couple. I got one of a few different type of ad sizes. I found it a lot easier because that way, because they also keep track of not just page views, as in when the ad itself will load on their computer, but also if they click on it. So I figure, why not just like compile all that data from all the different sites together?
Right. For a lot of people's campaigns, they're going to put in some sort of threshold of, you know, this site has to get 500 views or 1,000 views a day before my ad is going to appear there. By combining sites or even combining your ads with other webcomickers, you can kind of get up to the next threshold so that you're going to get more campaigns, putting, you know, meeting the criteria of more campaigns, or people actually want to bid on your site directly, which is when it really pays better.
Sorry.
Is this the dog transition?
Yes, now we're going to talk about dogs.
No.
Now we're
going to talk about... No, 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 no dogs.
I just squirted the dog with soap. I thought it was water. Sorry.
You cruel woman.
Gosh. What?
Normally he starts barking at the door or nothing, and we squirt him. We have like a squirt bottle. And so I just picked up the nearest squirt bottle, and it apparently has soap in it. Oops.
You are cruel.
He smells better now.
Okay.
Anyway, what?
Right. Uh-huh. As far as Project Wonderful ads, when you have them on your site, you can also, you know, choose a rating. Children rating-ish only, no particular rating type, and then, like, adult rating types. And you can do this for when you place ads as well. You can rate the type of rating your ad you're putting out is as well, which is really good because on one of the webcomics I was working on it's a PG-ish and because of the campaigns, it's kind of hard to keep track of. Before they had this rating system, it's like, okay, we got like a suggestive sex site or dating site on this PG rated site, and it's like, okay, I'm gonna have to click that, and then I try to email them, don't bid on our site, you know, you have the thing, and it's like, they don't listen because they got a campaign, so they don't pay attention.
Yeah.
And you could get some really raunchy stuff on those skyscrapers, let me tell you what, man.
Yeah, mine's open to raunch, because, you know, my comic's a little different, and I have actually actively sought out hentai and horrible sites to put Project Wonderful ads on, so that it is there. It is possible.
Yeah. The other way you can take it is you can just allow everything so that at least there's enough people bidding on your ad space to bring the price up. And then if somebody actually ends up winning who has an ad that you don't like, mm-hmm. you can actually ban that user from bidding on your site anymore. And right. I found that unless you're really worried about bad ads showing up in your site for like 10 seconds or something, I found that's kind of a good way just to, you know, not have to screen everything and still keep the price of your ads pretty high. Because if you don't do that, sometimes you just, there's no one bidding on your site at all because it's just too hard to get on your site anymore. The other thing a lot of people do is they want to okay every single ad individually, which is, you know, something I talk about in my review. You know, if you have like Sheldon, that's something you definitely should have to do because you're not going to want anything of questionable content on your site.
Right.
But because the campaigns only run for a day or two, each of the bids within the campaign, and it actually takes the system quite a little while to go from having the bid be made to contacting you to okay it to you checking your computer and then okaying that ad, by the time you go through that process, sometimes the ad's almost over running, and that can really hurt your revenue as well.
Right. This is a good spot for a break. We can talk more about Project Wonderful later, as that is the biggest, you know, ad service provider that you talk about. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the other ad service providers.
Thank you for calling the hotline for thegeekmedia.com. If you are a fan of social media, podcast, machinima, video games, or music, please press the number 1 and someone will be with you soon. If
you are not prepared,
please dial 0 and an operator will be with you shortly. Thank you again for calling thegeekmedia.com's customer service hotline. And please remember, we're always available 24/7 at www.thegeekmedia.com.
Your traffic could be the fact that people stop going to your website at work because of the ads.
Yeah,
so, I'm just throwing that out.
Look at mine anyway. I did get a couple of emails that said, wow, I can't read this at work anymore. I said, ooh, sorry. So,
see you later.
I don't worry about it so much. Yeah. Oops. Okay, well, it'll still be there when you get home.
For your comic? You know, sometimes it could be like, wait, you were reading this at work?
Occasionally, I'm like, wow, that's kind of daring. I'm pretty out there.
They might not read it at home because they don't want their wives to see that they're reading it.
It's not that bad. It's just language,
it's
mostly.
Yeah.
Or the couple that had, like, Nike.
Whatever happened to Latex Thursdays?
Latex Thursdays. I can't draw. It takes so long.
Squeaky. We want squeaky.
Squeaky clothes.
Squeaky.
You just watch. It'll be the dog. It'll be the dog in squeaky latex soapy clothes.
That is wrong in more ways than funny. So, moving back to ads. We're going to segue right into ads.
All right.
Dog, ads, DAC. Tell us about ads, DAC.
Wow.
So, I was looking around on the internet trying to find something that pay a little better. So one of the problems you find with Project Wonderful is even though it has this nice community of webcomicers, that's kind of where it runs out. There's no big site, you know, there's no big advertisers like Nike or Coca-Cola or Washington Mutual. And so, especially if you had a really big site like PVP, there's just not enough advertisers to raise the prices up to the actual, what the spot is worth. And so just talking to some, I think I was talking to, I forgot his name, who does the Book of Biff, Chris, I think his name is.
Yeah.
And he was telling me about Azdaq, and that's one's actually paid really well for me. So how that works is you tell them what the ad space is, what the size, and usually it's something like a leaderboard or a skyscraper. And you actually specify what's the price that you want to be paid to fill that spot in terms of how much money per CPM. So that's how much per every 1,000 hits to your site, basically. And if they can fill the ad space, they will for that price. And if they can't fill it, they then send that space to the next person down a chain, and you specify either send us to, for example, Google AdSense next, maybe show one of my own banners that I made myself, that links to my store or whatever you want. And so that one's actually paid really well because they have these bigger advertisers that to pay well. But the thing about it is it actually varies quite a bit. So there's been times like when The Hulk came out, and I was specifying something like $3 per 1,000 page views, and like it was like 100% almost filled because there was this Hulk ads over and over again every time somebody logged into my site. Other times when it's a little slower, like later in the summer when there's no big movies coming out or people aren't advertising for Christmas, the fill rates can get much lower, like 10% or less. And so it just varies all over the map. But overall, it pays the best, I think.
Cool.
So that's one that a lot of people don't know about, but I recommend trying. Since I posted my little tutorial, I've actually gotten a few emails that there may be a movement with Azdaq to try to get some of the webcomicers off of their ad service. And I don't...
I wonder why.
So, well, the reason they gave, so this was, it's linked on my blog. It was in Elf Life, that comic. Mm-hmm. They had some bad experience with Azdaq. And the reason they were given was that Azdaq is trying to do something more like AdSense, where they actually parse the page and try to have targeted advertising. And they can't do that with webcomics. And that's the reason they gave. But that's actually, my suspicion is actually that they're just paying too much for what the ad space is worth in some sense. Because if you think about a lot of the traffic that webcomics get, it's a lot of people just going to the site, reading a comic or two, and then leaving, and not usually clicking any of the ads. And so, honestly, I think AdStack is probably paying me more than my site space is worth. So I wouldn't be surprised if, sooner or later they say, we don't really want to do business with you anymore. So.
Well, yeah, the same thing. Go ahead.
When I look at my site for my single panels and my Dear Diary strips, people are usually at my site for a total of 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, that's the average. You know, it's 2 to 5 seconds. It seems to be about, you know, average. But, yeah, I can see where that would not be advantageous to advertisers. I don't know that.
It could be even worse, too, with all the stumble traffic people are getting. I mean, some days I'll have 3,000 hits of stumble traffic, and none of those people stay very long, so...
Yeah.
But if you want ads that you know are going to be clean, they're going to be child friendly because it's just Nike ads and stuff, and it's going to pay really well. If you're getting over maybe 1,000 page views a day, I would totally recommend trying out AdStack. You know, you're going to make some extra change.
Nice.
I was just going to say, number one, probably don't want to compete with Google on Google's terms. If anyone
Aztec is listening.
probably dumb idea. The other thing is I can totally see where they would have a beef with webcomics, because we've got all this traffic besides, you know, stumbling, because people came to read one thing.
Shopping around, they're not looking at, yeah.
And I don't blame them, because I go to my webcomic to read my webcomic, too. Whereas in a blog, right, they're reading things.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
So I can see where they'd have...
So I guess the moral is get in on AdStack if you can now, before they start, you know, coming out on it a little harder, maybe later. Something to watch out
for. Is the 1,000 page views a day the requirement, or is that the recommendation?
I think that's just my recommendation. AdStack isn't unique in that a lot of the bigger advertisers require a certain amount of page views per month or so. And AdStack is really weird in that they actually don't have any requirements for where the ads are on your page. They don't have any requirements for how many page views you have. But I've just kind of found in general, if you're getting less than 1,000 page views a day, or maybe a few, you know, 500, less than 500 or so, you're probably just better off sticking with Project Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, let's see here. What's the next one you got here?
Yeah, so I can put the fourth one I discussed was Burst Media. And so, like I said, with AdStack, once you start getting into some of these bigger ads, they can't fill the space every time. And so how it usually works is you'll chain a few ads in a row and say, you know, the way I have, for example, my top leaderboard chained is it starts off with AdStack. If AdStack can't fill it, it goes to Burst Media. And if Burst Media can't fill it, it sends it to Google AdSense. And that way those are kind of the order of which one pays the best to worst. So I'm trying to maximize, you know, the profit from that ad space.
Right.
So Burst Media was one that I just started recently. I'm not sure if I'm going to keep with it because I've kind of been disappointed by how much it's paying for all the trouble it took to get it. So they require something like, I think, 40,000 page views a month minimum or something like that. And they require the ads to be on certain places on your site. So, for example, if you have a leaderboard, it has to be near the top. If you have a skyscraper, it has to be within so many, you know, 600, 400 pixels of the top, stuff like that. And how it works is there's these different campaigns that are basically different advertisers, like, different hotels or Verizon. You know, these Verizon ads you've been seeing on a lot of people's site where the little ear follows around your clicker, your cursor. Those are from Burst Media. And so you pick which ones are able to run your site. And for each one, they say, okay, this guy's either going to pay this much per 1,000 views or he's going to pay this much per click. Each one has something different. And you just go through this long list and you specify which ads you're going to okay on your site. And then, you know, if they can fill the ad space with one of those ads, they will. And if they can't, they send it down the chain for you. But, you know, given how much trouble it's been to put the ads on my site, I'm not really making much more with them than Project Wonderful. So I'm actually actively looking for some other ones. For example, Chris Straub has talked about Tribal Fusion as another ad, as another place to get ads from. But I haven't really looked into that much yet. So that's about that. Those are the different ad services. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is that when you're putting these ads and chaining them, I see a lot of people chaining like AdStack into Project Wonderful. And it's something that I've been trying to kind of discourage when I've talked to people, because I think it's kind of a dishonest thing to do. Because what that means is your Project Wonderful ads aren't actually showing all the time. Right. And so if somebody bids on your Project Wonderful ad, they're expecting so many page views, given the history of that comic, you know, how many page views there have been in the past. And if suddenly AdStack has this great day where it's suddenly filling 70% of the page views, you'll see that Project Wonderful ad just go in the tank that day. And so people were bidding on it like it was going to get much more, when really it's getting much less. People do, and it's kind of hard to avoid people doing that. But I've been trying to discourage it just, you know, as a service to the kind of the webcomic community, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
I thought that Project Wonderful had a bot where if it can't find the ads being served for a couple hours, it basically bans you until you start serving the ads again, and then
it comes
automatically
back up.
Yeah, so that's what I thought too. But if it's infrequent, where like, you know, two out of every three ads don't show up, maybe that's still good enough for Project Wonderful. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
I've only seen some sites that
do that.
There have been a couple of times when, you know, I forgot to put in a blog post or something. When I don't put in a blog post, my little button ads at the bottom don't show up with Project Wonderful. And I almost, within an hour, I do get an email from them saying that, you know, those ads, the bidding has been closed down and, you know, until it pops back up. But I'm not sure how that would work, you know, being within another script, and you know, I'm not really sure what it's looking for.
Right.
In my case, the script isn't there. So,
If the ad's appearing, you know, 60% of the time, and that Project Wonderful checks a few times and finally sees it, maybe that's good enough. I'm not sure how that works, but. So, do you guys have any other questions about implementing these ads or these different ad services, or?
Did you already talk about AdBright?
Oh yeah, so. That was something I actually added a little later to my review, and nobody from Oddfish was bugging me about AdBright and was wondering if I tried that. And I tried it probably like 6 months ago, and I had a really bad experience with it. So I can speak to that, but you know, some people have told me things have changed since then, so maybe it's a better service now. So AdBright is actually kind of, they're using the business model of Project Wonderful, where they're allowing bidding for the ad space. But now it's on a much larger scale, where there's a wider range of advertisers and much larger advertisers as well. So I tried their ads as on my site, and when I did it, I got a lot of kind of questionable content, kind of adult content ads on my site. And I started kind of looking through the sites were okay to do advertising with them. And it was basically, it didn't look like they had a screening process at all. They were basically allowing everything. You would see some sites, you know, some companies would have three or four times they had registered just because AdBright wasn't doing a very good screening process. And so in the end, not only were the ads kind of questionable content, they weren't paying well because there are so few webcomicers on there. No one's going to bid on my site directly from them because there's just not, you know, I'm not getting enough page views for. So I was getting, you know, dating ads and, you know, dancing girl ads and stuff like that. I just wasn't very happy with it. I've even heard rumors, and maybe this is all past, that the coding for AdBright was really poor, and some people were actually programming like viruses and stuff into the ads that would happen when people would download the sites.
Oh, nice.
So, but, you know, since I posted this, some people have contacted me and said, no, things are different now. For example, AdBright is actually broken into two entities. There's another one called, like, Black Label or something, where they handle all the adult ads now. AdBright is strictly PG. They've cleaned up their act. But I just, you know, given all the other options that are out there, I haven't felt the need to go back to AdBright after my poor experience with them.
Once bitten, twice shod.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing to remember is it's your webcomic, and it's kind of your public face. And even though there's ads that other people are filling, you know, if the ads reflect poorly, it's going to be reflecting poorly on you. So you should be careful with what kind of stuff is on your site.
Right.
I agree.
Well, some very good information there. And I'd like to backtrack a little bit back to Project Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not just Project Wonderful, but I guess just sites that the webcomics that just have the contact us to have an ad here type of thing,
mm-hmm.
where they don't go through anything. No, I resolved to not name names here, but I know some sites, some webcomics, some that I like, actually, where they seem a little too full of it when they're asking for how much they want on their ads. Now, I can understand that some people, maybe their traffic points to their ad space being worth so much.
Yeah.
But when you have an ad for people to place ads on your site for months on end with no takers, that should tell you that the cost you're asking per day or whatever is too high for the market to put on your site.
This is kind of coming from the other end where you're choosing sites to advertise on. But yeah, I totally agree with you. If that ad space was really worth as much as they're asking, couldn't they just put a Project Wonderful ad there instead, let the free market bid it up to that price, and it would be fine instead of having to contact the people directly.
Well, and a good example of this is Something Positive. Something Positive used to handle their own ads,
mm-hmm.
and it ran, I think it was between $60 and $80
yeah.
a day. Well, their tower ad now, right now on Project Wonderful, is worth $60.10. So clearly he's still commanding the same prices that he did before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's worth... You know, you very rarely see his blank.
Yeah. Right.
But from his point of view, I guess he's paying 25% now to Project Wonderful, whereas before he was keeping all the profit himself, you know.
Yeah, but he's not having to deal with the ads.
On a
convenience basis, he's kind of happy to not have to deal with people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wouldn't want to speak for him or anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the blog spaces, he said that, you know, he was going to give it a shot because trying to sort out all these ad deals is just kind of a nightmare, and Project Wonderful does it for you.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's also that people can also put a minimum bid on their
yeah.
sites as well. Now, some people are a little bit more pompous in their bid and the minimum bid than others. And some people are, some very few though, like some will have, there's a few dollars, to bid here, because Project Wonderful does it per day, and it'll prorate it down to per minute if need be, if your ad is not on there for very long. But for the most part, you know, people are pretty good for having their bottom price. Another thing you can do, if you don't have any ads, you can also put your own little ad there for... I forget who does this, but I saw somebody on the webcomic list does this, where they have on the weekends the bids go down very low, so they just have an ad for their their donation wallpaper on the weekends. So it still works. So it doesn't look like and they had a good reason for it too. So it sounds really good. You don't get the your ad here image. Instead, it's still being productive.
Right. I totally agree with that. If you have a reason to have a minimum, where, for example, you have some product that you know you can, you know, it's more advantageous to advertise that product and to make 2 cents over the weekend.
Right.
Yeah, you know, do that.
I personally put mine at least 1 cent, just so I avoid all the automatic free campaigners out there. I figure 1 cent. I can ask for that.
I can ask for a penny, you demanding. I almost said a naughty. You were going to have to bleep out.
If I remembered.
Nice. You got to learn how to sneak them in, Tanya.
Yeah. You know what? I am not really subtle. I don't know if you've noticed. Subtlety, not my high point.
Another subtlety. In this podcast, I decided to try the Twitter crap. So you can find us at twitter.com/webcomicbeacon if you want.
Oh, yay!
Hey.
Aaron and Tanya, you guys can add to this too. It's the same password that I use for basically any webcomic beacon thing. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah. There's going to be now 8,000 webcomic beacon Twitters about...
Jeez.
I Twitter all day long.
Gosh.
I Twitter horrible things.
I know this has nothing to do with ads, but Tanya, you have it set up for texting, right?
I do. What I did is I set my Twitter to where I receive phone texts for certain people. Unfortunately, it's still like 100 people. So,
jeez.
I get more than 200 Twitter messages a day.
Doesn't that cost you a buttload?
Yeah.
Oh no, I have unlimited texting. If I didn't,
texting.
I would do it that way. Like, that's crazy. I hate talking on the phone. I Twitter or text everyone.
I hate Twittering and texting.
I text everybody too.
Yeah.
So after you do the checkbox that it's okay to set up for phones, there's mm-hmm. a second screen then where you can actually filter it down.
Yeah, actually, if you go through, you have to go. Unfortunately, now you have to go through each person that you follow, and then when you go to their site, it'll say whether or not phone notification is on or off, and you have to manually. You know, turn those either on or off. So just go to, yeah, it's good. I did accidentally last week twice Twitter the entire Twitterverse instead
awesome.
Of an individual person. I asked everyone out to lunch first and got some very interesting replies. And then found out, hey, that JT over at the Gigcast would be a little scared to go to lunch with me. I thought that was funny.
What's JT's?
JT Shea. It's capital J, capital T, capital S, H-E-A. JT
okay.
Shea. And then Scott is under Mad Scott. But and then Friday, I asked everyone if they would like to have a date with me on Saturday.
Accidentally, right? In quotes.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. I'm like, ah, oh, crap.
You can't take us
Sorry.
Back.
No, you really can't. I mean, you can go back and delete it, but if it's people like me that got it to their phone, it's already out there. You can't suck it back.
Nope. No. No take backs.
But I Twitter so much. Yeah, I Twitter so much that I'm used to, I finish a message, I hit the round button, go up three, and hit send. It's become so automatic that sometimes... I don't quite send the message to a person, but instead to the entire Twitterverse, which is also, oh God, people have found out horrible things about me. Yeah. Pulled muscles. There's been weird things people have gotten messages on. And here's a dirty little Twitter secret. I don't know what it is about Twitter. There are people out there that feel the need to tell you about their bowel movements. I don't know why.
Oh, okay. That's because Penny Arcade did a strip where they had I keep forgetting their names. The guy with the yellow shirt. Is that Gabe, right? Yeah, Gabe. I thought, and he was like,
Gabe.
And the other guy, and the other guy's telling him, "You don't have to Twitter everything." He's like at the dinner table, and he's like, "Okay, I got to go to the bathroom." Wait, this isn't Twitterable. Stop Twittering. And then he looks, and then the other guy looks at his phone, and it says Gabe's Twitter. It's okay. I have to poop now. Okay, pooping is the next update. This like,
yeah,
that was awesome.
You know what? The sad thing is, the Penny Arcade comic.
Yeah.
It was already happening.
Oh,
that was their experience with Twitter that they were commenting about. It was yeah.
All right. Well, this is a great place.
They're building a brand, I think, right?
This is a great place to take a bathroom break. And when we come back, webcomic review from Mark Savory, and also the weekly Ringside. What? The weekly ringside update from stripfight.org and also a webcomic searchlight.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at WebcomicBeacon.com/live.
Fest.
Yeah.
Oh, did he really go?
No, I'm right here.
No, he's there.
I was there. I threw in another F-bomb this episode. I don't know if it's going to be funny if you find it.
I didn't.
Oh, man, I don't
it.
Really care to look for him anymore. I'm trying to streamline my
Good.
Process. All right, going to the chat room. Is anybody in the chat room have a question that we could bring up in the show about advertising?
Me.
You're not in the chat room.
He could be.
Okay, we got
first,
a question.
And then Aaron.
are you able to call in?
No.
Well, not you.
Do I have to call in to answer, ask questions?
Well, not you.
What the hell?
No, you're already here.
He's talking to
myself.
Where's the chat person?
The show's on mute, remember?
Yeah, you call in.
Yeah, he doesn't actually listen to us. He has no idea what's going on. This is random utterings from Aaron. Chat person, call in.
Okay, fine. He says no. Okay. Anti-Sohel, or however you're supposed to say it. Any tips on ad design, as in what font should I use? What resolution of the image should be, and if it should be JPEG, PNG, or GIF?
So you're asking me this?
Sure.
Already just be talking about this. If you're already doing a webcomic, you're kind of doing the same sort of thing. You want it to be readable. The resolution is your normal 72 DPI. I mean, it's appearing on the web. And if you want to choose JPEG, PNG, or GIF, most of those are all available. But you want to choose the one that works the best with your artwork. So, for example, if you have a lot of gradients or a lot of shading, usually a JPEG works best. If it's a lot of flat colors or black and white, usually a GIF works best.
Animated or non-animated?
Oh, wait, hold on. I will say this. If you have a lot of fine work, if it's very detailed, PNG is going to be better because you're not going to get the haze around thin lines that you do with a JPEG. But
yeah,
it increases the file size quite a bit.
Yeah.
I hate animated ads for the most part. The Revelations ad, I like because, you know, it looks more like an advertisement rather than just something that moves for the sake of drawing my attention.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you have to say about Mr. Pyro?
Well, yeah, we're not really speaking to what I was, my topic was anyway, but yeah I mean, It depends. I mean, it depends what you're going for. If the animation adds something to the ad, I'm all for it. But sometimes it's just flashing something, you know, something very annoying that I just don't want to click on. And
yeah, it should be subtle, I think.
Yeah,
and
it should be something that makes the ad more desirable. I mean, if there's a reason for the animation, I'm all for it. But if there's not, then it's just. It's not good.
The only time I've used animation is actually if I wanted to reveal a punchline. If the ad in and of itself was a joke,
yeah.
You know, and so there was, you know, kind of like rolling text and then a couple images and then a punchline.
Yeah.
Chris
from Book of Biff again, he has some pretty nice skyscraper ads where he animates a couple of his strips, and his strips are so easy to read and so fast, he can show a couple of them and really give a good flavor of what his comic's all about with his skyscraper ads. So that's a really great example.
I think when you got the best time for an animation ad would have to be when you got the really small one, the button one, or the half banner, where it's you got to gauge your animation steps, right? Make sure there's plenty enough time to read what's on there, but not it's too long that people don't see it while it's still on the screen. Yeah, just kind of like the small ones. You basically need like maybe a little image and then flick back to the name and maybe one other thing for the URL if you really want to. But you can't make it too fast because it could be like, okay, I'm going to ignore that automatically because it's, you know, a pain in the butt.
Or the other side to that is, kind of speaking more to what our main topic was, should you allow animated ads on your site, Do you want something that's kind of distracting from your comic to be near your, you know, somewhere near your comic and distracting your reader?
Right.
And that's something you kind of have to decide for yourself. And you want to, but you want to make sure you pick an ad service that gives you the options of, you know, whether or not you actually show those ads. So that's one of the reasons I was just going to add something with AdSense is it has with Google AdSense is it has the least amount of control of any of the ad services.
And absolutely.
It's almost something that's kind of egotistical about Google. They always feel like they can do whatever they want and everyone should go with it. So, I mean, there's basically no options for what ads are going to show up on your site with Google. And sometimes just stuff that's kind of flashing, animated, or distracting, and it's frustrating when those come up.
Yeah. You know, I want to add,
Go, Aaron.
Okay, I wanted to add one more thing to that because I totally forgot about that. Since among the other 10 million things that's bannable to do if you have a Google ad, one of them is since you can't click on the ad for yourself to see if the content is questionable or not, they make you download an extra third-party thingy to go on your Internet Explorer or Firefox to be able to pull the URL, which they make you open up in a new window so it won't track. I don't know if they do that anymore, but
it's so that it doesn't look like you're inflating your own ads by clicking them. Yeah, they do.
But it's so stupid.
It's not user friendly or intuitive anyway.
But if you wanted to actually legitimately see it as a reader of your comic,
don't use Google AdSense. There we go. Problem solved.
No, I mean, I think the right choice is that you're going to probably want to chain a few ads together, two or three, or four even. And since AdSense pays the worst and is the biggest pain in the butt, but they fill with the highest rate, you want to put that at the end of the chain. I mean, unless you have something on your store or something of your own that you want to advertise for that last bit. Just go ahead with your AdSense.
We need to cover just a couple of questions real quick. One question is how many ad spaces should they have available on their site? I would have to say it has to depend on how your website is designed, and it shouldn't be overkill to where your image content is mostly ads and not your own content. That's the best I could say in general.
Your ad should never fill more space than your comic.
Yeah. I mean, look around at different sites, and you can see sites that you like and that have a nice appearance, and you can see other sites where it just looks like a joke because there's so many ads around. Yeah. I mean, follow the other ones. And on top of that, it's good to actually design the ads into your site during the design stage instead of adding them after the fact. Because you can tell right away when somebody's done that.
Yeah.
I would have to say
stop in at the end.
If you're talking about actual spots to have ads, I would say no more than 2 to 3 well-designed into your layout. This may be like 2 or 3 spots, but the spots may be like a collection. Like maybe it's good to have like a five buttons at the across the bottom. I would count that as one spot. But I think no more than 3 separate spots. Go ahead. If you got something for that.
Oh yeah. So, I mean, just to use my site for example. My basic strategy was I have one ad at the top. That's basically my bread and butter. That's my best paying ad, and that's my ad stack to brain to burst to AdSense. Mm-hmm. I have one large Project Wonderful ad, so at least I have somewhere for people to bid on something with Project Wonderful where they feel like they're going to be getting.
Right. Hello? Where'd everybody go? Shoot.
Thank you for calling Aaron's phone. This is Aaron. How may I help you?
What? This is... No. I know when I click the Skype.
Can I help you? Did you have a question about your service today?
No, I think what it is, I think my site goes on, like it sits too long, so like it automatically disconnects everything.
Sir, have you tried resetting your computer?
I'm trying to order a pizza.
Sir, is your router turned on?
Yes, it is. Okay. I'll kick your ass.
Which lights are blinking?
I will kill you.
I would be evil in like the space of a week. I don't like people enough as it is. I can't imagine. Give me like 3 days working customer support. Oh.
You get a little vindictive.
You know what? I'd be on a clock tower, and I have perfect marksmanship. I did some good training in the Navy, so nobody wants that.
Okay, getting back to the show, because we kind of killed a lot of time here. I wanted to answer one more question. I was in the chat room before we had technical difficulties. We had a question. I don't even remember what the question was. No, it was like, where do you want to put ad space? Like just on your main page, put it on your archive pages. Personally, I would put a spot for an ad, basically the same ads, like the same ad code, paste it on almost all your main pages, like your archive index page, your links, your about section, your main ones. You don't need to go through and put ads on each one of your archived pages unless you want to. If it's difficult to do, probably not. If it's easy to do, I don't see any harm about that. What do you think, Tony?
Yeah, if you're using the same basic layout for every page in your site, I don't see why not. Why not put the ads in the same place on each page? And especially, like, for example, I get a lot of my traffic through StumbleUpon, so some random comic in my archive might just get hit, 1,000 hits one day.
Right.
And it's worth having that ad there just in case that happens.
Absolutely.
Well, there we go. We need to good advice. We need to move on real quick to the Beacon Searchlight.
Yay!
And
I'll go first.
All right, go ahead and introduce it.
Okay, there's this webcomic. I don't know if you guys have heard about it. It's called Gilbert and the Grim Rabbit at http://www.gilbertandgrim.com. If you've been under a rock in the last 2 years, you may have never heard of it. But it's a very, very extremely over-the-top cute and very simply drawn, which I like already, simply drawn comics, because then I don't have to feel bad reading your comic. So it's about... It's about Gilbert, which is a little kind of a blue demon guy, and he is stalked quite often by this little pink bunny who has a part-time job as Death.
Bless you!
Bless you. Bless you, bless you. And Grim, which is this cute little pink bunny, sometimes dresses up in this cute little black robe and follows people around, usually inadvertently scaring the crap out of them, possibly causing...
It said what with being Death, yeah.
Yes, with being, she's very, very adorable, but I think they only, sometimes I think she even inadvertently maybe causes them to die or almost die. And then there's a cute little librarian kitty cat, and then there's more demons and all kinds of cute little things and little tangents that they go off on. And so there is a storyline, which is refreshing because I like storylines. And I don't have a single negative thing to say, except for please do not ever go on hiatus again. That was total bullcrap. You guys were gone for like a year. And I know there's personal issues, but don't ever do it again. Your comic is too cute. And stop thinking that your art is crap, because your art is really awesome. Okay, next person, please.
I've read it on and off for the past several months. It is. It's I like the way they've taken what could be a dark subject, you know, what with the death and all, and really chibied it up. I mean, it's definitely very chibi-esque. There's a lot of very pastel colors, and everything's sort of round and fluffy. Mm-hmm. So you do end up with a lot of almost like slave labor graphics kind of humor, where you realize the situation is frightening, but it just looks so soft.
Mm-hmm. The demon has a halo on his head.
Yes, he does.
And so
makes sense because they are banished angels. It works for me. Yeah. I like it. But they're still all very round. It's mm-hmm. like it's a little disturbing if you think about it too deeply.
And I also want to say I was not reading your guys' comic when I designed how cute and round and everything that mine was.
Very important.
Yep.
Well, I read it. I don't think I read the this actually restarted. I guess, is that correct?
Kind of.
So when you click on first, you on the main page. I should say, as for a Smack Jeeves site, actually the layout is pretty good actually. I said with Webcomics Nation stuff, Smack Jeeves is the other site where. Pages can look terrible if they're not if the person who has the site is not making anything of it. It just kind of looks like crap. But actually, the design for this on the Smack Jeeves site is actually pretty good. And I click back and first, you just see the restart. You don't see the old ones at all. Basically, you know, the things you guys said. Maybe I don't like it as much as you guys do, but. But it certainly, hey, come on! It certainly has a lot for people to enjoy. So,
Mac G site usually this slow. It seems kind of slow for me. Maybe it's just me.
It might be just you.
Be a little slow.
yeah. I actually saw the page take a little bit longer to load. So you don't have big blocks of text per strip, so that's pretty good. All right. Does anybody have any milestones this week?
Listen to the resounding silence.
I got a milestone. One milestone that was reported to me was that.
Hey, just looking back at this comic. Yeah, the image files are pretty big. The author could probably go with compressing these files. Maybe half as large as they are, and save the login, the loading time by quite a bit. So,
yeah,
soliciting.
There isn't a lot of detail, so it wouldn't be. Yeah, you're not going to lose anything. And the color again is, it's very pastel. So since the colors aren't dynamic, it could be compressed. Yeah, I will agree with that.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm looking over this. Damn it, the site has music on it, and I don't see any spot to mute it. Oh, there it is. Okay. I'm trying to... Okay, I got to really edit some of this dead time out. I'm trying to figure out... I should have looked at... I just kind of checked my email real quick for milestones. And I'm not entirely sure where the fuck it is.
Oh! Dun, dun, dun.
Not...
Okay, I'm going to have to cut this out, and I'm going to have to email this person back and ask him, what are you talking about? It's a mixed site, so I'll just leave it at that, and I'll look at it later. So we have no milestones to report.
Oh, we got, and the forums, that Kickass had a milestone, right? Does that count? 250?
250? No, it has to be on the 100 mark. Or a year mark.
Okay. So
or it has to be or it has to be officially completed.
Or years. We take years too.
Yeah, years. Yeah.
Oh well, I tried. Sorry, stuck at gas.
All right. Well, okay. Okay. This is where I cut back into the show.
Yay.
I guess we don't have any I guess we don't have any webcomic milestones this week. You can tell us about webcomic milestones on 100th something or other, or a year, like, you know, 1, 2, 3, etc. Or if the comic is officially ending, like it's the story's ending, it's over, or such. You know, that's those are milestones which you can tell us about. As far as other extra emails, we got an email from somebody last week about our crossover show, and it wasn't in time for us to talk about it during the show. You know, this was the episode in which Tanya decided to cross over to the GigCast.
Sorry.
So, yeah. And if you guys noticed, for our crossover show, I had... what's his face? The guy who does Unamused Comics, an insert comic here. He did the cover, which... we did the cover for Webcomic Beacon 41, where I forgot to mention this, where we were basically copying one of the GigCast's covers of a beatnik girl with a microphone, and so we had to, I had him do a cover with, you know, Becky holding a microphone like a beatnik and everything. So yeah, we're having fun. We're making fun of each other.
just a little.
Also, I don't know if I ever mentioned on the show, I think I completely forgot, but Webcomic Beacon number 40, the cover was done by Carl C. or something like that, of SteelThisComic.com. I might have already mentioned it, but it's a pretty sweet-looking rendition of Becky as a superhero, so you guys can check that out. And if people are interested in doing a cover for the Webcomic Beacon, just send us an email. We'll get you in line to pick up doing the cover for one of the shows, depending on what the topic is, and we'll check it out. Just send an email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. But the email, which I was meaning to talk about, that he was sending, he says Enrique Ace Smith, which I don't know where he's from. He didn't provide a webcomic or anything. In regards to the show on crossovers, in webcomics, it's a more casual affair than crossovers in other mediums. He was bringing up how, like TV, apparently, the show Saint Elsewhere. Basically, if he has this map that somebody made of where it connects maybe 100 different shows with cameos and crossovers, and they basically Saint Elsewhere links a whole mesh of them together. And then there was like the question of whether or not the end of Saint Elsewhere means that all of TV is an imaginary delusion of this autistic kid that woke up at the end of it, or some crap. I don't know. It's kind of interesting to think about, but it's just, you know, you don't have to think that they're, all these shows are interconnectedly, because if you really look at the worlds, they really don't work together. Because the world rules don't work. You know, see, you just got to have some fun. It's, you know, fictional crossovers, or just don't think about it too much and enjoy the crossover for what it is. Not everything is connected.
Yeah.
But it's still fun to think about. So, in any case, so I sent him an email back. I hope he didn't think I was being like all pissy about it. No, but it was a good point to bring up, and it can be really cool. Well, I'm just repeating myself. But anyway, thank you for the email. We barely get any of these emails. If you had a webcomic, you could have told, or a website, you could have said it, and I would have mentioned it. But since you didn't, I won't.
Well, I also want to remind everybody, it's very, very hard to get an email into Fez with all the emails that he gets. So if you have a milestone or something you want us to read on the air, or you want to do cover art for the comic or whatever, you've got to have a very clear subject line. And you have to have very clear in your message what you want to do. And if you have a URL, put it right up at the top, because we don't like trying to find your URL and stuff. We don't know who you are. So make sure, you know, Fest gets a lot of emails. So try to be a little bit conscientious about our time.
His fame.
And, you know, all, yeah. It, oh, yeah.
You know, he's...
No, if I don't... JT Shea is now following our Twitter. Our first follower. Oh, Dungeon Warden as well. We also have... I don't know what we're talking about. Who cares? Twitter, whatever. So I think that's pretty much it for the Webcomic Beacon this week.
Now.
Yeah. next week we're going to be talking about the Ten Commandments to webcomicking, to webcomic production, actually. We're going to be having Chris Overstreet of White Lightning Productions on with us. So the show content could potentially get a little adult. So we'll have a little warning at the beginning of next week's show as well. But we're also going to try to get some of the other writers and artists of White Lightning Productions. And I've seen the list, the Ten Commandments of webcomic production, and they're pretty good, actually. They're pretty good, and we're going to discuss it and see if there's anything he wants to change, because he's written them a while ago. So Chris Overstreet, Ten Commandments of Webcomic Production, next week, episode 43. Join us next week. This has been Fess of Fessworks.com.
This is Betapwned. No, this is Tanya of Betapwned.com. Christ.
Aaron, TableComic.com.
Tony.
Tony of freeofnature.com, I guess. Sorry.
Yay.
And
I was just going to...
Oh, I have a really, really quick thing.
You suck.
The 24-hour comic challenge is coming October 18th. If you signed up for a venue last year, people are already starting to do registrations. So don't miss it. Now, go, bye.
No, too late. You screwed it up. Whatever. Okay, fine. We'll post a link to Tony's recap of all of using the different ad services on the site. Okay, we're done with you guys. Bye.
That's all for The Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
Ask us if we have like one more thing to say.
You asked for milestones, and I didn't have any of those, but I did have news.
You didn't ask us if we had news.
Well, do you have news?
Well, yeah, the 24-hour comic challenge is going.
Aaron, do you have news?
Yeah, I always have news.
What is your news? Is it like another CD or video game?
Gamecast.
I got my little Wii laptop screen in the mail. It's pretty sweet.
Wow,
dude, what?
I was sent Wii porn. Does that count as news?
Oh, did you get a little porn meme or something?
It's some little GIF, little animated GIF about a supposed new Wii game. It's masturbatory related. It can't be true. It's bad.
Nice.
It's so wrong.
This is what you could have, a little naked me.
What the hell? Okay.
I had news. I even forgot the news I had. I was going to talk about.
Well, then, what are you doing?
Oh, I can save it for next week.